Okay, so you have a knock-knock joke for me, right?
Okay.
Okay, go for it.
Knock-knock.
Who is there?
Tree.
Tree who?
Trees don't cry, it's Mother's Day.
I don't get it. Tell me another one.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Banana chip.
Banana chip who?
Don't go banana chip on me.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the Art of Thriving podcast. We're so glad you are here. I think we had about 4 listeners last week.
Whatever. I think it was 6.
Six.
And I just have to say that it was not our moms because
yeah, let's not.
I don't think either one of them have ever listened to a podcast nor know how to download.
Do they even know what a podcast is?
Yeah, probably not.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts. I think my mom could figure it out, but yours, I'm just betting no.
Anyway, we're back. We're going to talk. We'll give you a little family update here on a few things, and we're going to talk about another value on our list of things, and we'll have some fun too. You might hear a joke from my son. You might have already heard a joke, depending on the editing of this thing. We'll see how that goes.
They're really bad. So I'm curious how other parents do it, how they laugh along. And I have a really bad poker face, and so it's hard to really muster up.
Like, do you encourage your kids' terrible jokes? And or do you?
Or just tell them that's terrible.
Or that's terrible and come up with a better one that actually makes sense. I don't know.
I don't know either, we'll but see.
He's creative. I'll give him that.
He likes to tell jokes.
Okay, so what's up with us? The teal stag is still on the fridge. Has not found its home
yet. That's right. It's still there. And I went into a store yesterday, and what did I find but little stags in that store. See? Mounted on an Oregon plaque.
I told you, they're in.
With wreaths around their neck. And it was actually really cute, and I thought, oh, we might need one of those too.
Good.
I think I've been converted.
Soccer Saturdays are still a thing. They're still a thing. Oh, I get to coach this week. That's a big deal.
It is.
Is
it? I'm excited to see how this goes. Never seen you coach.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Hopefully it won't be raining. It rains here a lot.
I looked at the forecast and it says 74 and I'm holding it to
Which
that.
Which is also that Saturday, this Saturday, tomorrow, is my birthday.
It is. And he'll be the same age as me. That's right.
Yep. I'm officially younger than Jody.
Yeah, and he doesn't like to let me forget that either. But I also like to tell him that I'm older and wiser. So we have that.
Okay. Okay.
But birthdays are a big deal for me. And in my household growing up, a really big deal. You always celebrated. You got to, whoever's birthday it was, got to pick the cake and the meal and have a party. And if you ever forgot, well, you never lived that one down.
Yeah, so birthdays were not a big deal for me growing up. And I don't know if that was just my family, the way my family operated, or if it just, they weren't a big deal for me. So I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it was a source of contention for a long time in our marriage because we value different things based on what we grew up with.
All I really care about is going to a place called Pip's Donuts. So Pip's, if you're out there listening, we would like some corporate sponsorship.
Yes.
They give away a free dozen donuts on your birthday, so I'll be hitting that up on Saturday.
And when we say dozen donuts, you need to picture Pip's Donuts in case you've never been there. I think most of our listeners have been there. But if you haven't, they're like little tiny...
Little drops of heaven.
Little drops of heaven, it's true. Like 2-inch donuts. So we're not eating like 12 maple bars. Don't picture that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it is amazing, and they should pay us because we tell so many people about it.
Yep. What else is going on with us?
You're
getting a tattoo? Oh, you're getting a tattoo.
I have tattoos.
Maybe we should talk about a theology of tattoos on this podcast.
Yeah, let's.
Let's talk about how tattoos are just like normal. You got to have a tattoo to have some street cred in Portland.
That's right.
But there's certain spheres of the evangelical Christian world that frown upon tattoos.
It's true.
So,
but
what do you think about that?
Well, that's okay. They can frown all they want, and I don't have that same theology. And in fact, in the scripture that they point out, it's not really talking about that, so to speak. Oh. Hmm. So,
I'm too much of a wuss to get a tattoo. It's not an issue of theology for me. It's an issue of pain.
Yeah, I keep trying to convince him that he needs one. I have three, and I had one that I got when I was 18. I turned 18. I had no reason for the thing I picked, and I've wanted one ever since. And so the ones that I have now have definite meaning and spiritual meaning and mark things in my life. And
especially that one that says, I love Matt on your bicep.
Yeah, that one on my bicep, because those are big. Yeah. About that. No, I do have one that says redeemed, and that's meaningful. So, okay. There's that. And my other one says choose joy. Because also, I feel like I need that tattooed on my body because I don't always remember how to do that well. But yes, I need that one touched up because I don't like the C.
So you're getting a touch-up.
I'm getting a touch-up. That's right. A touch-up.
Okay. So, it's raining a lot in Portland right now. We're moving into the dreary season, which I don't mind that much. I've gotten used to it.
I do. It makes me just want to sit down and read under a blanket with a warm beverage and not be very productive.
The one downfall, though, is that, this is very important, you need to know this about me, that I have a scooter.
He does.
It's 49 cc's of raw power. And it is awesome. It was the best life decision I've made in a long, long time. Maybe outside of marrying you.
That's right. I'm glad that falls right behind.
Yeah.
And tell them what you sold to get that.
I sold my actual bike.
To choose the lazier version. You had to actually pedal. I think that just speaks to our age. I don't know, maybe.
I don't know.
Yes, I also worry every time he's out on it. I know it doesn't go very fast, but I prefer to have lots of metal.
The gas mileage on that thing is amazing.
It's true.
I fill it up for about $2.50, and it lasts me about 3 weeks. But the problem is now it's beginning to rain.
Yeah.
It's not scooter weather.
Fair weather rider.
I don't know. I take my chances.
Yeah. Tell him my favorite story about the car that pulled up beside you, because this, I just like to picture this every time you ride it.
I was stopped, so I was driving home on my scooter, and I have a helmet and glasses and stuff, and it's a small scooter, let's be honest. And I pulled up, I think I was waiting in the train tracks, and I pulled up next to a car, and it was just like the classic kind of lowrider, big rims on it, and windows rolled down, and the guy driving is kind of laid back in the seat with one arm on the steering wheel.
And, I love this guy.
And he just kind of looked at me, and he goes, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said, oh, nice scooter.
Did he say, how fast does that thing go?
Oh, yeah, yes. How fast does that thing go? Like he wanted to race me. I said, I am not racing you.
And you ruined his day.
And I ruined his day. It tops out at about 35 miles an hour, although the speedometer is broken, so I can't really tell how fast I'm going.
Oh, geez.
So, living the high life.
That's right.
I'll get that fixed eventually.
Scooter life.
The scooter life. It's the way to go. Okay, one other thing's coming up. So it's the middle of October? Is it middle of October?
Well, it's the end of the first week, really.
But the first holiday of the season is coming up, Halloween. And
Halloween.
I don't know what you guys think about Halloween, but the only thing that we really care about is trying to get costumes that are low maintenance for our kids. It's a pain. And us. I haven't dressed up in a while.
Yeah, we don't usually dress up. Although, a couple years ago, we all dressed up as pirates, and that was fun. I liked that. That was a fun family dress-up. Yep. But yeah, I am kind of lazy, and I don't like to figure out the outfits or creative. And we have a Halloween party to go to this year and need an outfit. And everyone was giving great suggestions, but what it comes down to is I need someone just to drop an outfit off on my porch that I could wear. I am just the worst.
I have a caveman wig and a beard.
Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly.
What do I wear with that? Because I feel like we have to go together. Our costumes
do not have to match.
No, I feel like they need to match. It's more fun for me that way.
Our son is going to be a ninja. I wanted an adult ninja outfit, but I haven't been able to get one of those yet.
Yeah, and we're also cheap. That also comes into the picture because we don't want to pay for
our
that.
Our costumes need to be about $14 or less. That'd be great.
For sure.
Okay, so Halloween's coming up.
Yep.
All right, that's the current status. We are in a we'll transition, right? Smooth transition. I told you, this podcast is awkward. Well, it's like I'm talking to you.
Is there any other way?
I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go. So we're in a series talking about our values. We are a family that tries to live intentionally. So we have a list of values that we are talking about that we try to live our lives by and make decisions from as a filter, I guess. And last week we talked about living differently, which is, I think, a big broad theme that influences a lot of them, but is super helpful for me and our kids as we teach our kids about how to navigate life. But this week we are talking about another phrase that we use a lot, and it's the phrase family on mission. And that's a little Christianese, but bottom line, it just means living intentionally, living purposeful with direction, and it means seeking to do good in whatever context we're living in.
Yeah.
And it comes from the Bible. It comes from, it's in a lot of places in the Bible, but Micah 6:8 is a good verse that represents this truth. So.
And what is that?
Dang it. Something about doing just, acting mercy. Justly, loving mercy, blah, blah, blah.
As you can see, it's really shaped our lives.
It's really shaped our lives. It's in the Bible, people. Look it up.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So, family of mission, or living intentionally, doing good intentionally. What does that mean? Unpack that.
Well, I think, it depends on which angle you want to look at it, personally or family-wise, but for our family, I mean,
let me interrupt you.
Yeah, why don't you?
So it doesn't just mean you have to have kids and be married.
No. I think everyone should be doing this.
Yeah.
But everyone doesn't.
Yeah, so it means no matter what your life stage is, you can live purposeful and with the intention of doing good around you, right?
Okay. Yep.
But ideally, you're doing that in some sort of relationship with others, where you're linking arms with others, whether it's your actual family unit or whether it's someone else.
Yep.
But also, there's a lot of room for just individually moving into that space, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, every day thinking, what am I going to do today that would make a difference or add value to someone else? What is the need I could fill?
Yeah.
What's a need our family could fill. But yeah, you don't have to be married or have kids to do this.
Yeah.
I think it's just being intentional with the people in your lives. If someone comes to mind, send them a text message. Someone needs a meal, take them a meal. It's just trying to make the places that you are better after you've been there.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'll get biblical here just for a second, but it comes from the idea of this, I think, comes from this term shalom, which is kind of an Old Testament biblical term, and it means peace, but it means there's a greater depth to it than just that. It's this like deep, overabiding, overwhelming sense of peace and hope, and that there's this sense of being transformed and healing, and that things are made new. So this idea that shalom would kind of break through into all different areas of life and sectors of our community and city and all those things. So then if you look at more scripture, Jesus says, you actually get to be a part of me bringing shalom into the world. And obviously from the Christian worldview, Jesus and the good news of his death, resurrection is the centerpiece of that. But it's more than that, like his kingdom or where what God wants done is done. is these things of hope and healing and restoration, being made new. So we get to be a part of that. That's a lot of biblical stuff, so feel free to...
No, I mean, that's good, and that's why we do what we do. I mean, we're motivated by that. We live out of that purpose because of our relationship with God. I mean, there's no...
Yep.
Yeah, that's just how it is for us, but...
But there are a lot of people, I would say there's a lot of people who don't claim to follow Jesus or live a Christian, have that worldview, that are doing good in our city.
Oh, absolutely. So many.
Yeah. I mean, some of our neighbors are better people than me. Yeah, they don't know. They don't claim to follow Jesus, for sure.
Yep.
Okay. So it's about, I mean, simply it's loving people for us, loving God, and because of that, getting to do good in our city.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So why is this even important for our family? Like, what does it do in me and you, in our kids? Mm-hmm. Why is it important to talk about this?
Well, I mean, I have to keep talking about it because otherwise it's just so easy to become really self-focused and what do I need to do today? What's on my agenda? How can I fill my need?
How can I expand my little
my empire? Kingdom? Yeah. So it's just really easy to get caught up in the dailies of life and just all the things that have to happen to function in life and run a household and have jobs. It's just so easy to let those things be your only priority and not looking outside of yourself or the relationships around you or the places that you're at, that you're in for a reason. And maybe, you know.
So give a practical example, like places that we're at or contexts that we're in real tangibly. Like what are those places and what does it look like?
Well, our neighborhood. And we're here for what I think is the long haul.
Yeah, I think so. We hold everything with an open hand. But so what is our neighborhood is in the core of Portland.
Yep.
It's a mix of single family homes, families, and then apartment buildings. We get lots of people driving through our neighborhood just because either commuting one way or the other. But we live right next to the park in the kind of the center of the neighborhood too. So we think a lot about our neighbors.
Yeah. I mean, I want to know them. I want to be in relationship with them. I think it makes our community better. When you go to the park, I make it a point to meet the new person that's there because we're there a lot. And we notice when there's new people or there's someone that we haven't met or whatever and strike up conversation and get to know them and
It's not like you have some ulterior motive to,
nope.
you know, get to know them and then I'm going to convert them or something.
No, not at all. I just want to get to know them because I care about people.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. I mean, I think my ultimate, if I'm claim to follow Jesus, ultimately I want people to have a chance to hear about Jesus and that story. But ulterior, like I don't want to bait and switch somebody. So that's not it. Like I want to do good just to do good. And see what comes of it. Mm-hmm. And I live here. I want our neighborhood to get better. And I want to lead out in that.
Yeah.
You might hear some construction in the background.
Oh, my word. Let's pause for a second. The city of Portland, you guys. It's so ridiculous.
So look at our window. There's a big old backhoe thing digging out a sidewalk that was literally just laid a month ago, 2 months ago.
To perfection.
Yeah, it's like perfect with nice cobblestones around the edges, and now they're digging it out. I'm not sure why. Story of our lives. I won't get on my soapbox about how the city of Portland is struggling right now, but
in every way.
In every way. Okay, so what? I was going to talk about this too. So with our kids, though, we're working really hard to help them not be entitled, I guess. And I think this helps.
Yep.
Right? So if they can get a picture of serving others and the needs of others, and for some reason build an empathy, I think, or...
Totally. Yep. And goes into living differently. Like, we're not going to live like everyone else. And just because when all your third grade friends had cell phones, we're not going to have cell phones.
Yeah.
So... we're not entitled to those things, and we're going to do things differently.
And even just you know, we have a relatively small house and stuff, but it's a nice house. But there's a lot of people that have larger houses. But when our kids go interact with homeless or interact with somebody from a marginalized neighborhood in our mm-hmm. city that we serve in, all of a sudden gratitude surfaces for what they have. Mm-hmm. What they have, like yeah. us, the same thing happens in my heart too.
Yeah.
But I want our kids to catch that the world doesn't rotate around them totally. Some days it does, but I want them to catch a vision of living for something greater to make a difference in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Pause just for a minute and talk about the parties that we throw and why we do that.
Yeah.
And how we think about them.
It's funny because I was thinking about this morning, and we're both introverts, and we host.
I know. I would just sit around by myself
all
the time.
A lot of parties and events and group things, but I think it's because of our value to invest in the lives of others. And so often really amazing things come from when you gather a group together and they can begin to build their relationships as well and connect with one another and see that you have things in common and get to walk through life together, even though you're really different. And we just love to open up our home to other people. And when we moved into this neighborhood, we decided we were going to make it better and make community happen. Yeah. And so we started doing things like throwing parties in our backyard, hosting backyard movie night. S'mores and sparklers was one of the first things we did. For Halloween, we invite all of our friends and neighbors to come have chili and cornbread, and then we go trick-or-treating together.
Remember last year when it rained?
You guys, it was like monsoon weather. I mean, we came back and could wring our clothes out. It was pouring, but we still had at least 40 people, I would say, at least, between
all
adults and kids.
All I remember is Isaac's soaking wet Batman costume.
Soaking wet. But we all crammed into our house and ate chili and cornbread, and then we all trudged through the rain together. Like, it looked like a parade. And, I mean, we had to kind of filter off as we got to the streets because it was kind of impossible for 40 children to walk up to the door and do it all together. So we kind of spread out after that. But we all started together, and it made it so much more fun.
Absolutely. And yeah, totally.
Met new neighbors, and so it was it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, really, honestly, I think my heart for that is to just be a place where neighbors meet one another, and when neighbors know each other, the neighborhood gets better
mm-hmm.
and have fun. It's so much fun.
It's so fun.
My life would not be the same if I didn't have these relationships with my neighbors and the people around me in this context, and getting to rub shoulders and learn from them. And whether it's, different worldview, or whether it's just talking about our city or our kids or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
And seeing what happens with that relationship.
Even that, I mean, I feel like that's divisive in the Christian community too. Oh, we don't want to go trick or treating or wear costumes. I mean, what kind of a hellion are you to do that? I'm going to go to,
Did you say hellion on this?
I did. That's right. I just said that. And I think the harvest parties, they're fun, but what other time do people open up their doors to you and come into your house and just be who they are? Why not be present in that and with your neighbors and have fun and engage? Like, I am all about that.
And please do not give, if you follow Jesus, claim to be a Christian, do not give away a tract.
Seriously.
On Halloween.
Do
or
not.
Or at least in our city. Please don't do that. Maybe that's more appropriate in some other context, city, somewhere. I don't know. But, gosh.
That takes give the away, relationship out of it. Please
instead of doing
don't.
That, give away king-size candy bars or something like that.
Oh, don't do that either. My neighbors do that, and my kids come home with 4 or 5 king-size candy bars that I'm never going to let them eat.
be that house that is generous. Be that those people that are generous in your context, just to bring good to it.
Although some of our neighbors give out seaweed, and
My
kids aren't impressed with that. Some children love it, it's not my kids.
So we get some neighbors that give out king-size Snickers, and some that give out seaweed and...
I don't remember what the other thing was.
And vegan, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was. It was awesome.
Okay. So living on mission, living intentionally, purposeful, doing good, it matters because it shapes us, but it also makes a difference
mm-hmm.
in our community, in our context, in our workplace, mm-hmm. apartment building, whatever it might be. It's a huge part of our value. So it's a little bit, little, little, Dang it.
A little bit.
We'll edit that out.
That's all good stuff.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for putting up with our awkwardness. We are having a good time with this, and we hope you are too. Hope it's helpful, and we'd love to hear from you. And, don't forget, we have some more stuff on the artofthriving.net, but there is, let's just be honest, there's a sign-up sheet. I think that a few of you might have signed up for this. There's an email sign-up on there that says we'll send you a free ebook. Yeah, we haven't written that ebook.
Matt has been dreaming about that ebook for so long. So when he actually puts that into...
Oh, man. This is the problem, executing on all my ideas. That's right.
When he does that, you will be the first to get it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
All right. In light of the fact that it is National Poetry Day today, we have a special performance from a special young lady. Our 9-year-old daughter, Jenna. Say hi.
Hi.
All right. What are you going to read?
The Summer Day by Mary Oliver.
Okay. It's one of my favorites. Go ahead.
The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around her with enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, and how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, tell me a joke.
Okay. Why call a free hump camel?
I don't know. What?
Mega humped camel.
No, that's not it.
It's a different one though.
Okay, you have one more joke for me?
Okay.
Okay.
What do you call a 14 hump camel?
I don't know.
Mega pregnant.